We're all looking to ensure that things get better and that we can do that within some, for some, a new tool, internal audit. It's great.
Yeah, it feels like a real leveling up of internal audit, or at least a leveling up of how people should think about their IA teams, right?
Right, exactly right.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, I would say, you know, it's really helped me in hitting the ground running in the sense of unpacking and understanding how the team has been operating in the past and where we're headed in the future. And it's created that dialogue or that enhanced communication amongst us as team members within Workiva internal audit, but also with our key stakeholders, executive leadership, management, and the audit committee. And for that, I feel like I've already started to mature the program in a big way. So I'm very excited to continue that dialogue and to leverage these new standards to get it right from the start.
Hello, and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. Wow, okay. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the one platform that unites financial reporting, ESG, audit, and risk teams. There's nothing quite like it, and there's nothing quite like the IIA International Conference, which is where we are broadcasting from today. It's the event that brings together internal auditors from around the world to share ideas and learn new things, which is what we do here. My name is Catherine Tsai. I'm a professional asker of questions. I like to drink venti soy chai lattes, and I'm looking forward to debuting a great conversation. I'm so happy to have you here with us. I'm also happy to be here with Mike Gravano. Mike.
Oh my, please, you're too kind. I am Mike Gravano, Off the Books producer and recovering Cherry Coke addict. I love live events. I'm so excited to be here at IIA. And we decided, since we are among internal auditors, it seemed like the perfect chance to sit down with Benito Ybarra, the Executive Vice President of the IIA, to talk about the new Global Internal Audit Standards, TM, which take effect in January 2025.
That's right. The new standards are a shift, or we'll say an evolution, from IPPF, the International Professional Practice Framework. I think I got all the letters right there. Okay. And we're also going to be talking to someone else as well.
Yes, we're also going to be joined by Shane Negengard, who is the new head of internal audit here at Workiva. We like to throw people in at the deep end, so not only is it like his second or third week, we said, well, then you're doing a live podcast with us at the IIA International. He's joining us after 19 years of working at Deloitte and a whole slew of other places. It's very impressive. So we had a great chat with Benito and Shane.
Let's get right to it. We're here talking about internal audit standards. So Benito, can you tell us a little bit more? Just we'll start from the basics and just get a quick overview.
Sure. So the standards, they're basically the foundation for the profession of internal auditing. They structure how audits should be conducted, but also the actual construct of the internal audit function. So there's a lot to it. It's very technical. I could get into the technical pieces of it. I don't think anybody would appreciate that too much. But really, what we're trying to do with the standards is ensure not only conformance, because there's a feeling that auditors apply too much of a compliance mindset to their work. We want more of a strategic focus for internal audit. So we structured the standards in that way.
And as far as specific things that are new, what are some that you would highlight?
Yeah, so the areas where we get the most questions are by domain, domain three. So domain three, regarding how the internal audit function works with and collaborates with the board of the organization and the senior management team. So in the past, and even to an extent now, there is a focus on independence for the internal audit function, which is good, but independence doesn't always mean isolation. And unfortunately, internal auditors sometimes take an isolationist approach, whereby they become disconnected from the organization. And for those that try to work with internal audit, it's not always a good thing, because they don't truly understand where the organization is trying to go sometimes. And when they do their work, it's not in alignment sometimes with where the organization or where its leaders want to take it.
Sure. And when their auditors are acting isolationist, does that also kind of create an adversarial relationship then?
For sure. For sure. We just went through an exercise or a research study called Vision 2035. And one of the perceptions of internal auditors, I think it was number three on the list, was that internal auditors act like the police. So that's not a good perception to maintain.
How do you want them to be seen? How do you want to be seen?
Yeah. I mean, strategic leaders, right? I mean, sure, there's a place for independence. You have to be objective in how you do your work. But you also, as an internal auditor, have insight into how the organization functions. Not every executive in the organization can say that they truly understand how the organization works. Internal auditors have that insight because they look at everything and they know the mechanics with regard to how things work. So from a strategy perspective, they can be invaluable in furthering or advancing the organization.
Shane, what were your first impressions of the standards when you saw the updated standards?
Yeah, so frankly, I'm very excited about the new standards. I was fortunate in a previous role to have an opportunity to review the standards in advance and provide some feedback to the proposed standards. So felt like I participated a little bit in the evolution of the standards. And, you know, what really creates that excitement is it's an opportunity to dust off what we've been doing as internal auditors and as a profession for a really long time. And it does allow you to revisit why we do things the way we do things and perhaps what are some of the things that have maybe gone by the wayside, in addition to something that Benito just touched upon, and it's that independence factor. It forces, in some great ways, some additional time, some additional conversations with not only just the audit committee and the board, which typically an internal audit function would report every quarter, but this may result in some additional conversations outside of those standard meetings or an expanded schedule during those meetings to think about strategically what the standards mean and how internal audit functions are looking to adopt them and apply to them, or where we might have challenges and gaps. And then it also pulls in the executive management to the conversation as well. So I'm using it to my benefit completely. And taking advantage of it to spark those conversations.
We're a few months out from the standards going into effect, right? What are steps that audit leaders and their teams should be taking to adopt them now?
Yeah, so first, from my perspective, if you haven't read them, you have to read them.
Oh, good for so.
Yeah, get an understanding of what the changes are. There is a comparison document out there for people to reference, so you can look at that as a shortcut to that, but yeah, you should immerse yourself in the Global Internal Audit Standards because, like the change I mentioned, right, and the additional focus on collaboration, there are other changes and things that you should really have insight to, and so you can conduct your own gap analysis. Because that, in and of itself, gap analysis could lead to discussions now with your governing bodies regarding potential shortfalls, areas where they may be assuming risk by not investing in the internal audit functions. So there's plenty there to start the discussions now. So if you have already digested and read and digested some of the internal audit standards, I would highly recommend you start speaking to your board members, your senior management team, so that they can truly understand not the standards from a technical standpoint, but where you see the function going based on what you've identified as gaps, so that they can be partners with you in that journey.
It's a good chance to show off your skills and also your knowledge and your value to the company.
That's right. So one of the elements that I didn't talk about was incorporation of the company's strategy within the internal audit plan. So if you can do that now, that would be a great way to introduce the standards, so that your leaders can recognize that you understand the direction of the company and how you foresee a role for your internal audit function in furthering the objectives.
Shane, as a head of internal audit, what are the steps that you're taking in your role and with your team?
Certainly. So the conversations began day number two for me on the job with the audit committee. So by some chances, I call that luck, that I had an opportunity to walk almost directly in day two and meet with the audit committee, and it was discussed. You know, the new standards and the work ahead and unraveling and making sense of the history as well as where we're going in the future strategically as an internal audit function in a company that specializes in, you know, a bunch of different technology, internal audit being one of them. So, you know, we as Workiva Internal Audit fully adopt and utilize the Workiva platform and are excited to apply the standards within that platform and are using it to continually evolve and refresh strategically how we do things. And so it started with a quick and nitty-gritty gap analysis, and we're working quickly to update and enhance our documentation. We're giving credit where credit's due, but we're also reprioritizing areas that we know we need to do more in, and enhancing that documentation concurrently, and also identifying things like strategic resource needs or additional technology application, some of the evolution of data analytics and things like that, so that we can be that trusted advisor and that partner to the business.
Nice. What do you think the biggest challenge in adopting or complying with the new standards are?
You know, for me personally, and I suspect a lot of other organizations would struggle with this, it's the constant rejiggering or reprioritizing your audit plan. And so in my experience, I inherited an existing internal audit plan coming in mid-year. We will continue to evaluate that and refresh as time goes on. But, you know, there may be a couple of audits that are lower risk that get pushed off because we want to dedicate the needed time and make the adoption of the standards a key priority. We see the benefit in it, and it fits greatly in terms of what I'm trying to do, and that's develop a strategic plan that prepares us for the future and makes others want to be part of my team, in addition to showcases the value that we bring to our stakeholders.
It's really good. So, I mean, just some observations as you're answering that. You know, and I get the chance to talk to chief audit executives from all over the world, and one of the most interesting conversations I had with regard to adoption of the standards, somebody actually told me, so the IIA wants me to talk to my audit committee. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I didn't know how to answer that. So I won't go further into that conversation, but it really showed me definitively the levels of maturity, you know, the span of maturity levels that are out there with regard to how the practice of the profession is undertaken. So with that, yeah, the challenges are going to be many. Yeah. They're going to be very different. But for those that truly want to, you know, conform and get better, this gives them an opportunity to showcase what they can do for the organization. And that's what we feel is very positive.
What are you most excited about with the new standards?
In my role, I get all the questions you can imagine. So actually engaging with the members, engaging with chief audit executives, and what we've seen more and more of is engagement with directors, boards, and senior management level people. They want to understand more about what this all means. So that there's a active conversation is really great, you know, for the profession and, you know, for the organization. Ultimately, we're all looking to ensure that things get better and that we can do that within some a new tool, internal audit. That's great.
Yeah, it feels like a real leveling up of internal audit, or at least a leveling up of how people should think about their IA teams, right?
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, I would say, you know, it's really helped me in hitting the ground running in the sense of unpacking and understanding how the team has been operating in the past and where we're headed in the future. And it's created that dialogue or that enhanced communication amongst us as team members within Workiva Internal Audit, but also with our key stakeholders, executive leadership, management, and the audit committee. And for that, I feel like I've already started to mature the program in a big way. So I'm very excited to continue that dialogue and to leverage these new standards to get it right from the start.
Today's episode of Off the Books is brought to you by Workiva. In today's world, musicians can make money in several ways. And while it may seem simple, it's actually quite complicated. Seriously, just Google how musicians make money. For the sake of time, we'll only mention a few. Live performances, merch, and streaming royalties. And while there are always exceptions, most artists aren't making a living redoing their work. But, as you might have guessed, we're here to discuss an exception. Recently, one musician's been seeing success redoing her work. You might know her all too well. These re-recorded albums are making quite the splash in the music industry, breaking new records, re-engaging fans, and making that money. But repetitive work in your audit and risk processes simply isn't benefiting you, is it, dear listener? If you're wasting valuable time chasing down evidence requests or manually updating status reports, then it's time to discover what Workiva can do for you. automate all that awful stuff so you can spend more time on value-added work. Audit and risk teams plus Workiva? It's a love story. Just go to workiva.com/risk. That's workiva.com/risk and say yes.
Let's talk about topical requirements, which are a new mandatory element. What are they?
Yeah, so basically, so for those that follow the IA and the standards, we have the IPPF, right? I won't go through that. But the elements of the IPPF are the standards, topical requirements, and guidance. So in the past, the standards and guidance were always part of the IPPF. The topical requirements are the new element. They're mandatory, as you mentioned. What we mean to do there, again, in the spirit of elevating the profession, is focusing on areas, risk areas, themes that are pervasive in nature, affect every organization all around the world, are persistent. So things that we've seen on risk registers for years, and also areas where there is a lot of inconsistency with regard to the approach to internal audit. So the topical requirement sets a baseline, a global baseline, for the conduct of these areas that we've identified. Now, those that are involved in that, it's not just the IA. We have boards and committees that are involved in this, and they're global. And I don't have the list handy or in my head, but the topical requirement that's out there currently for consideration and adoption is on cybersecurity. Now, I think we can all agree that IT is integral to every organization around the world. The risks associated with it are multiple, and based, again, on maturity, organizations deal with them in different ways. And with that, internal audit functions have a challenge in how the exposures are identified and how the organizations that deal with them, but also in resourcing. A lot of chief audit executives, a lot of functions don't have the specialized resources to address the risks associated with cybersecurity. So with all of that said, if you adopt or try to adopt this baseline of mandatory requirements, you're going to have those discussions with your governing body so that they can understand the risks associated with you potentially not having the resources you need. So by default, it's helping you have those discussions, elevate the risks that you're seeing being imposed on your organization through cybersecurity, but also getting the resources and support you need all in the same conversation.
What were those debates like in terms of deciding which topical requirements that you would tackle first?
Yeah, so our Global Guidance Council does a lot of work to go through that. I mean, it's month-long discussions, and, you know, not everybody agrees, as you would expect. Again, different organizations, different parts of the world are represented on this committee, but they do a really good job in having the discussions, debating appropriately, and then coming to the conclusion that, yeah, cybersecurity is the one we need to focus on. That'll give you a little insight with regard to how that was selected. There is a global risk assessment that is undertaken, led by the IAA. And for the last, I believe, 5 years, cybersecurity has been at the top of that list. I mean, it's a pretty easy, you know, deduction that that's a high-risk area for people around the world.
Shane, were there any surprises for you in terms of what made it into the new standards versus what was proposed?
A pleasant surprise for me was the definitive nature of the standards. To me, the standards have always largely been viewed as guidelines in the past, and it's different than some of the other accounting regulatory standards or pronouncements, if you will. And so, you know, the adoption has been a little bit more of a gray area, where the definitive nature of the revised standards make it a lot easier for internal audit leaders like myself to pick a direction and get the resources needed to go in that direction, in addition to something to stand behind. And that's very welcomed.
I'm glad to hear that, because it's something I talk about. I mean, internal audit needs to take its stake, right? Needs to own its role and really know how to articulate it. You know, even with my talking about standards today, right, it can get technical, it can get long-winded, but we have to learn how to communicate better and ensure that we're all focused on the same thing, right? Yeah. Advancement of the organization.
Is there anything you want people to know that we haven't covered about the standards that, like, you're like, I need to express this last bit?
I mean, there's plenty. I mean, I'll start with the purpose of internal auditing, because we haven't talked about that. So there was a lot of discussion and I'll call it soft debate with regard to the purpose of internal auditing, and one element of that being internal auditing in the public interest. You know, you hear a lot about ESG nowadays, right? The social aspects of how organizations get things done and consumers actually making decisions regarding their purchases or their engagement with an organization based on the way they do things. So from an internal audit standpoint, we have to have an eye on that, right? And it's not something that's comfortable. It can be political. It can be forbidden, right, based on the function and where you report. But it's something that we feel we really need to delve into. And just from a purity standpoint, it helps maintain your objectivity when you do your work, right? Because if you're always doing the work to advance revenue, that could be seen as, you know, not the purest way to conduct an engagement. If you look at the risks holistically and the objectives of the organization holistically, you're able to put out a better product.
You know, I would build on that by saying they weren't just pulled out of the air. They're built upon, you know, hundreds if not thousands of years and hours of collective experience in building and the goal of, you know, what's the best or how do we continue to evolve and do things even better.
I did want to ask a question about a news release that we saw recently with Workiva incorporating the standards into their product. How big of a deal is it to have your technology provider incorporating the standards into the product that you're using every day to do your work?
I mean, from my standpoint, it's great. It's awesome. I mean, it's direct, right, feedback, if you will, regarding the value that these standards provide. If we can all take it to heart that these standards are not only going to help the internal audit function do better, but help them make their organizations better, which is what I see in that.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. So I'm looking forward to more of that, honestly. And I hear it. I do hear it from more organizations.
I think it's an awesome innovation. And it, again, creates some needed excitement, some needed buzz around you know, something that can be very technical.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's needed. It's what our constituents, what our stakeholders rely on.
Nice. To wrap up, hey, I'm trying to think. I got a closing question. I have it. So to me, it's kind of it's a refresh, right? The standards are a refresh of what came before, a reboot, if you will. Outside of work, we'll start with you, Benita, and then you, Shane. What is something you think needs a refresh or a reboot? It could be like a restaurant's menu, a TV show, a movie franchise.
So I recently moved to Florida from Texas. I love Texas food. I love the spice. There's not a lot of spicy food in Florida. So I really need to amp that up. It starts with me carrying around a little hot sauce to spice things up, but that's not sustainable.
No, it is not. What is your go-to hot sauce that you use?
Well, they don't have it in Florida either, so I've had to make my own.
Shane?
Yeah, trying to keep in sync with the theme in terms of, I'll go the other side. I'll go in terms of drinks.
Sure.
I think these happy hour podcasts need to involve an adult beverage.
I agree.
That would be nice.
We've made that argument before. I love it. All right, Benito, Shane, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Good. Our pleasure.
Both.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you again to Benito Yabar and Shane Nakengard, and thank you to the IIA for hosting us. And thank you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. I'm Mike Gravano. This is Catherine Tsai, and this has been Off the Books, presented by Workiva. We'll be back next week. Cynthia Cooper, author and whistleblower of World.
We'll see you there. Please subscribe, leave a review. You can leave us comments if you're watching on YouTube, or you can always email us at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.